All right, Mark chapter 2. Mark 2, we're going to do verses 1 through 12 this morning, Mark chapter 2. Here's my question for you. While you're turning there, what's your greatest longing? Think about it. What do you desire the most? What's your deepest need? What's your greatest longing? You want to have a little fun with this morning? Give it to me. What is it? Somebody shout it out. What's your greatest longing? Sleep. Well, I may put you to sleep here in a few minutes, so you may get your wish, but what is your greatest longing? Somebody else, shout it out. What? Greatest longing is to belong. What was it over here? Marriage. Was that a guy or a girl? I'm just kidding. Bachelor number one. No, we're not going to do that. We will have some fun today, though, maybe. Yeah, marriage. Kids. How many of you really desire, like, to be a wife and a mom? There's nothing wrong with that. That is awesome. Okay. All right, dude. Come on now. We're going to talk after chapel's over. I'm just kidding. He's just joking. He's having fun. Listen, there is nothing greater than to have kids and be a dad or to be a mom, and I hope God has that for you. I hope he does. But here's what I want you to realize, and this is what our text is going to kind of show us today too. Whatever that greatest longing is, getting married, having kids, degree, anybody, degree? I want my degree. I want to be done. I want to never have to read a book again. No, that's not how it works, all right? You still have to be lifelong learners. That career, who has their eyes set on that job? Yeah. I want that job, that particular spot that pays me this salary, that allows me to have this house in this area with this yard and my German Shepherd dog with me and my 2.5 kids. I don't know how that works, but that's what it is. And my cars. The American dream, that's my longing. Any of you, can you relate? That's your longing. What do our longings tell us about what we think our deepest need is? How many of you just want to win a championship? Just give me the chip. That's all I want. In flag football, intramurals, or pickleball, or, these are not bad desires. I'm not putting these desires down, but there are moments in our life where we begin thinking that these longings, like, this is it. This is what we do. This is what we say. Oh, Jesus, if you would only give me this, I would be fulfilled. I would be happy. I would, just a few more friends. Just a grade in this organic chemistry class. Or differential equations, or you pick your really hard class, right? I've never had DiffyQ. I'm smarter than that. I'm just saying. Just kidding. To all of our math people, we love you. My wife is one of you, so. If I could just get this, I'll be happy. You ever been there? Yeah, I have. I'm still there from time to time. It's not a good place to be, but I'm still there from time to time. Our text today is going to challenge that. Now, I had some videos. I'll show them to you later. I'm not going to show them today for the sake of time because I want to do some other stuff. I'm going to read our text, but I think I'm going to read it at the end because it's a story, and you already know the story. But I want to help you think about this story perhaps in a slightly different way. So here's the way we're going to look at this. This is your main idea. If you need a main idea, I got to have it. What are you after? Jesus can heal what truly paralyzes us. This is the story of the lame man. You get it. But what truly paralyzes us is our sin. So Jesus can heal what truly paralyzes us by forgiving our sin. We have 2 points. We'll walk through those. We'll get to those in a little bit. First point is saving faith. The second point is skeptical faith. Saving faith, you're going to see that in the first 6 verses. Skeptical faith, you're going to see in the last 6 verses. You know the story. Jesus comes back. He's in Capernaum. He's in a house. We don't know whose house. probably not his house because he has no place to lay his head. It's probably Peter's house. He's in the house. He begins teaching. He's teaching and preaching about the gospel, and the crowd comes. Probably 50 or 60 or so people could fit in this house. We really have no idea. I'm guessing. I'm just trying to give you something in your mind. So about the size of one of our classrooms, 50 or 60 people crammed into one of those small classrooms, and there's so many people there that the door is full. And then there's this guy. There's this guy that can't walk. So he has a bed. And this is Cedarville. So every prop we have is Cedarville colors. He has a bed. This is not a bed, but this is about the size of a bed. Okay, I need five guys. Do I have five friends here? Five friends. You have to be friends, and you have to be willing to be asked questions on stage. Five guys. They're already coming. You five guys, get on up here. I just need five of you. So I'm sending number six back. There's five. I see five coming. Okay. Which one's the shortest? You are on the board. Your legs don't work. Come on, lay down. Okay. Is this, I don't need this. I have a microphone. What am I doing? This is why it feels natural. I've got a mic right here. Y'all are going to need this because I'm going to ask some questions. Who's the spokesperson of you four? You are the spokesperson. Here's my question. When you woke up this morning, what were you thinking?
I got to get to school.
No. You are the four friends bringing the paralytic to Jesus. When you woke up this morning, what were you thinking?
Get this man to Jesus.
Why would you get this man to Jesus?
Because he's a healer.
Because what?
He's a healer.
He's a healer. What does he need?
A lot of things. He needs a lot of things.
Do you run cross country?
High school.
Yeah. High school. That must be hard for your legs not to work after running cross country. Okay, so you four guys got up. All right, I'm talking to somebody else. What did it smell like in Capernaum this morning? Turn around that way so the cameras can see. Yep.
Bad.
Bad? Smelled like fish, right? Because you're near the water, right?
Right.
Was it dusty?
Probably.
And you don't have sandals on. None of you do. But you would have had sandals on back in that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys went to your friends, and what did you tell him? You don't know what you told him.
No.
What did you tell him?
What?
Yeah, what did you tell him?
I don't know.
What did they tell you? Okay, here's what they told him. Put your mind there. Remember, sanctified imagination, it's Capernaum, it's dusty, it smells like fish, it stinks, but there's a rustling because Jesus is in town. He's back. And you guys have heard that Jesus did a few things, like casting out a demon and healing a leper. And you've got a friend that's been a friend for a long time, so you're gonna pick your friend up and you're gonna carry your friend all the way to Jesus. So let's pick your friend up and carry him across the stage here. Okay, you can stop right there. Because you're trying to get into the door of the house, how heavy is he? Is that hard? No, all right, you're good. I'm gonna make you hold him then. This is workout time. You're trying to get into the door of the house, but the door of the house is packed with people. There is no way to get through the door of the house. So what are you going to do? Do you give up and say, wait a second, this must not be the Lord's will. There's too many people. We'll come back again later. Is that what you did?
No.
What did you do? Who's the spokesperson? What did you do?
We figured out how to get him in there.
You figured out, you got creative with your faith and figured out how to get him in there. How did you get him in there?
We went up on the roof and dug a hole, lowered him in.
Okay, are y'all gonna go up on the roof and dig a hole to? No, 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 no. I thought about going to the balcony.
You wanted to renovate.
And I did want to renovate the roof, but, and lowering him down, but are you up for that? If they go to the balcony and lower you down?
Let's do it, let's go. Yeah.
No. No. Okay, you guys carry him back across to the other side. Because they're going up a staircase on the side of the house to the roof of the house. Okay, now you can lower him back down so he can get off without. And you guys can get up and go have a seat. All right, let's think about it. You wake up that morning in Capernaum, smells like fish, it's dusty. You've got a friend, but Jesus is back. My friend needs to be healed. His legs don't work. His legs are just flopping around. They're not stable, they're not steady. And so four guys get together and concoct a plan. We're gonna get him to Jesus. And they go to this friend and they tell this friend, we're gonna get you to Jesus because we think Jesus can heal your legs and he can make you whole. And so they try to get this guy to Jesus. Now, if this were some of us, as soon as you see the doorway with that many people, what do you do? Oh, this must not be God's will. There's an obstacle in the way. And yet rather than stopping, maybe they went on to the door and said, hey, excuse me, can I get through? Can I get through? And people were there, it was so crowded, there was no way to get to Jesus. But instead of stopping, these four guys, they got creative. And in those days and times, there's a staircase usually on the side of the house that goes up to the top of the house, and the roof of the house is used for other things. It's extra space. So they go to the side, they go up the staircase, they go up to the top of the roof, and then while they're on the roof, they begin to dig a hole in the roof. I wonder if anybody had the thought, who's gonna pay to repair this? I mean, like, have you ever done something stupid and immediately you knew somebody was gonna have to pay to repair this? It took time for them to go get their friends. It took the ability to overcome obstacles and be creative in their faith to realize you could go up the staircase. It took more time and probably some expense for them to say, we're gonna dig a hole through the roof. Now, often when we read the story, we just gloss right past this. They dug a hole. So I'm like, how do you dig a hole in a roof without the whole roof collapsing and everybody dying, right? So they had beams that were about 3 feet apart that went across the roof. And then they had all of this other stuff. You had your thatch, you had your straw, you had your mud. Luke says tiles, so maybe there were some tiles on top of all of that. So they get up to the top of this roof, and here's what they do. They start taking the tiles and moving the tiles out of the way. And then they start digging a hole into the roof. I don't know if they had shovels, I don't know if they had a pick, I don't know what they had, I don't know how they started digging the hole in the roof, but they start digging the hole in the roof. I can only imagine when they went up there, they tried to figure out, okay, where would Jesus be inside this house? He's not gonna be at the front, he's gonna be farther back here. Okay, right here. All right, where are the beams? Oh, maybe right here, let's start. Oh, we found the beam, now we start digging. Think with me for a moment. What happens when you finally get a little hole in the roof? You're on top digging. What happens to the people sitting below?
Get hit by debris.
It's a smart fella. They get hit by debris. I don't know what that would have been like, but I can only tell you if it would have been me, I would have been irritated. Dust coming down on my head, and then I look up and I see a little light. I have no clue what's happening, but I see a little light. And then the light begins to get bigger and bigger. This is the real reason I wanted you to see this. I wanted to have a little fun, but they carried him on his bed. This is not a small hole. They lowered him down on his mat. It's like this thing has ropes on all four corners of it, and they begin to lower him down through the hole. But how long did it take them to dig this hole? What's happening underneath? And what was Jesus thinking? Well, Jesus already knew what was going on. What was everybody else thinking? What are they doing? Would you guys stop? I mean, at some point, you would expect the speaker, if he didn't understand exactly what was going on here, to say, stop it, you're making a mess. You with me? Are you thinking through this? And instead of them stopping, they keep, we gotta get it bigger. It's not big enough. Get it bigger. Come on, dude, do your part. Get it bigger. How big do we need the hole? 6, 7, I don't know. Oh, you like that? Oh, yeah. I have no clue what that means, but you know, hopefully it's nothing bad. They're up there. How big do we need the hole? You know what? I bet one of them even thought, oh, this is so Sigma. I mean, oh, you don't think so? I'm stopping right there. They begin to let him down through. Okay, think about it now. Probably sitting down, all of a sudden, you start seeing it come, and they're lowering it down. What do you say to the guy? Did you mess up my speech? What's wrong with you? There's a door there. Okay, if it's Peter's house, what does Peter say to the guy? We know Peter. That would be fun to have recorded. There's probably a reason Peter didn't tell Mark what Peter said so that Mark wouldn't record it, right? There's probably a reason. Because Peter probably said, dude, you're paying for that roof. Fix it. Think about the cost. Think about the circumstances. And they lower him down. And when they lower him down, everybody gets quiet. All right, are we all quiet? We're all hushed. No movement. Everybody's staring at Jesus and the lame dude, the paralyzed guy. And they're wondering, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna fuss at him? Is he gonna complain about the roof? Is he gonna tell him, you interrupted our speech? What is he gonna do? What happens? And Jesus says to him, son, it's a good start. Your sins are forgiven. Okay, back up to the roof. We're on the roof. We're one of four guys that got up early in the dust and carried our friend. And then we dug a hole in a roof, not just a hole, a big hole. And that hole in the roof means I'm sweaty and there's sweat been dripping from my face and I'm hot and I probably stink. And I'm sitting there and I lowered my friend down. And when I lower my friend down, I'm looking on that hole, trying not to fall in with anticipation. What's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? Your sins are forgiven. Time out, Jesus. We came here to see a visible miracle of a guy whose legs don't work. That's his greatest need. But what did Jesus say his greatest need was? Son, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus looked at him with his legs that didn't work, and his first thought of compassion wasn't this man needs to walk. It was this man needs to have a relationship with Jesus. This man needs his sins forgiven. This man needs to understand that his deepest need and what should be his wildest longing is Jesus. But he saw their faith. So he said, your sins are forgiven. They're saving faith. But then sitting in the front row, probably already ticked off because they have dust on them. Now, they got there early. Room's packed. There's no more seats. You can't get in the door. Getting there early are the scribes. This is skeptical faith. They get there early not to listen to Jesus. They get there early to find out what's wrong. Listen, our world is filled with a whole bunch of people looking to Monday morning quarterback and poke at what's wrong with everything that happens in this world. And there they are sitting in the front row. Don't be those people. Be the friends that are bringing people to Jesus, not the people that are just sitting there being skeptical, trying to poke holes in everything. They're sitting in the front row. And in their hearts, it says, look at what it says in the text. I'll read it and make sure I get it right. In their hearts, it says, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Now, if you're a theologian, you understand the Old Testament. It doesn't say that the Christ will forgive sins. It says that God, only God can forgive sins. So for them to say this guy was blaspheming is right. He's blaspheming. And so they're there. If he's not God, then this is true. And so theologically, they're there. They're accurate. And now immediately, Mark's favorite word, it's in here twice, immediately Jesus perceiving in the spirit, Jesus knows. Jesus knew what was gonna happen. Jesus knew when the guy came down. Jesus knew that his biggest need was to have his sins forgiven. Jesus knew that the scribes were sitting there questioning already. Jesus knew in their hearts what was taking place. And so Jesus says to them this. Notice the power of a question. Leadership, life, relationships, other things. Sometimes we can say things in a way that offends other people, but we can ask a question to draw out what they're thinking, and the power of a question, Jesus uses it all throughout the Gospels. And here's the question. Perceiving it, he says, why do you question these things in your hearts? First question. Second question. Which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? There's a good question. Which one's easier? Well, I would say to you, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no visible evidence of it. You don't have to prove it. If I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk, and you don't get up, I'm in trouble, right? But if I say your sins are forgiven, yeah, you can't prove it. You can't disprove it. But which one's really the harder one to say? Because only God can forgive sins. Your sins are forgiven actually is the harder one. You just can't prove it. So he asked him this question. It's a good question. And in verse 10, here's what he says. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go home. So what did he do? He rose and immediately, favorite word, picked up his bed and went out before them all. So that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Listen, the miracles in here are too numerous to list. The guy couldn't walk. The guy's legs were like jelly. Jesus heals his legs. Have you ever had an injury and then in that injury, you were weak, and all of a sudden, you decided it was time to do something again? But even, like, if this guy hasn't been walking, he gets up, and he stands on his legs, and his legs hold him, and he has the balance that it doesn't say he fell over. It says he picked up his bed, and he carried his bed. Can you imagine that guy? I bet he had a strut. I bet he picked up his bed. I bet he looked at those scribes. He's like, yeah, my sins are forgiven. You're still spiritually paralyzed, but I'm not. And I bet he began to walk, carrying his bed. Woo-hoo! Yeah. I mean, how would you do it? His friends come down off the roof. We're not told about all this. What happened? His friends come off the roof, and in their hearts, they're so excited. They're like, oh, my goodness, did you see that? And, you know, we always get prideful at our part. I bet they're talking about did you see how good I dug that hole? Man, my hole was pretty awesome up there. We got all that dirt out of the way. We are the bomb. Like, we got this thing going on. They're high-fiving each other. They're dabbing it up. They're giving a three-pat on the back and separate. They're having fun. There's a pep in their step as they're going through the streets and the dust is coming up, and they're praising the Lord. And everybody's sitting in there, all 50 or 60, amazed. You see what just happened here? Oh, we just read past it. He returned to Capernaum after some days. It was reported he was at home. Many gathered together in the room. There was no more room, even at the door. He was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing him, a paralytic carried by four men. They couldn't get near. So they removed the roof. They let him down on the bed which the paralytic lay. Jesus saw their faith. Probably all of theirs, because the paralytic guy had to agree for this to happen, right? I mean, I'm sure he wasn't like, no, don't take me to Jesus. Do you ever thought, man, this is embarrassing? He was longing. He had only one hope. Son, your sins are forgiven. That ain't it, Jesus. Give me a second. The scribe sitting there, questioning in their hearts, does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Okay, now there's the point. Either Jesus is God or he's not. There's no middle ground. And you got to make up your mind. Because if Jesus is God, live like it. If Jesus is God, talk like it. If Jesus is God, live your life and commit your life to it. And if Jesus is not, be the skeptical scribes in the front row, paralyzed by their own disbelief. You have to own your faith. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned him, said, "Why do you question these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority." Son of Man, that line from Daniel, that line which indicates that he is man, but that also he is God, has authority to forgive sins. He says, "Rise, take up your bed, go home." He rose and immediately picked up his bed. He didn't have to get his legs under him. He had his balance, he had his strength, he had his coordination, he had everything. And he walked out before them all, and they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never seen anything like this." So here's your application. First of all, look to Jesus. Whatever it is that you long for in your life, whatever it is that you think is your greatest desire, whatever it is that you think is your greatest need, whatever that longing is that you sense in your heart and you say, "I have to have that," that's probably where you're finding your identity in life. I'm gonna find my identity in another person, or in being a mom or a dad or in a job or career. I'm an engineer, I'm a nurse. That's the greatest longing. That's where you're finding your identity. But friends, we find our identity in Jesus, because Jesus is the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest need. We are either in Adam as rebels against the king, or we are in Jesus as children of God. And one day you will pass from this earth, and the only thing that's gonna matter is, what did you do with Jesus? So look to Jesus. Long for Jesus above all else. Above everything else, long for Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Every single need. "I'm not satisfied. I'm struggling." Lean on Jesus. "I don't know how I'm gonna get past this." Lean on Jesus. "I don't know what I'm gonna do." Lean on Jesus. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Are you hurting? Are you struggling? Lean on Jesus. And finally, lead your friends to Jesus, no matter the cost. You know, I had a thought this morning. I was looking back over my notes. I think I probably should have phrased this last one: lead people to Jesus. I said lead your friends, because that's what's in the text. It's four friends. Which, you know, the guy that was laying on the board, the paralytic on his mat, he was rich because he had four friends that cared enough for him to get him to Jesus no matter what it cost. I bet he didn't feel rich that morning, but in reality he was. So lead people to Jesus. Have a faith that Jesus looks at, that is a persistent, creative, sacrificial, determined, invincible faith. "I'm gonna do whatever I have to do to get people to Jesus. That's my calling." Don't let time, embarrassment, penalty, pay for the roof, sweat, or the crowd keep you from Jesus. Have you ever noticed in Mark, the crowd really only serves a purpose of keeping the people away from Jesus that really need to get to Jesus? Don't be the crowd. Be the friends that take people to Jesus. Take action. Do something hard. Why? Because Jesus can heal what truly paralyzes us by forgiving our sins. I hope you know that you are loved. Dear Lord, would you help us? Help us to be like these four friends that had faith in you. Help us to be persistent. Help us to be creative. Help us to get people to you, because you're the only one that can really heal our deepest need. I ask this in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. You are dismissed.